Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Man's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lucas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who are wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is this!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To get a deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Buster are delighted to welcome along regular contributor to the show, Andrew Patterson, and also an athletic chairman, Henry McClelland. Welcome along, guys. Well, we'll start by discussing the weekend's action. And Buster, it was a disappointing 2-0 defeat to Rangers. We made a very bright start. We took the game to them, passed up a few chances, and then something strange happened after round about the half hour mark, where we kind of went back into our shells and seemed to give Rangers a lot more respect than perhaps they merited, and they took full advantage.
Yep, I think you've summed it up pretty much nicely there. We had two or three good chances in the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You know, it could have been 2-0 or 3-0. And I think that, you know, when we didn't take the chances, that's when we started to show Rangers far too much respect. Don't get me wrong, Rangers were very, very good on the ball. They moved it about nice, slick. I think we didn't take advantage of the fact that their fullbacks are a bit gung-ho. Not the way I thought we should have, at least anyway, especially when we've got guys like Ainsworth and Johnson on either side of the wings. But it was disappointing. I think it was even more so because of the start that we had. You know, we started really well. But as you say, as Rangers, you know, they're always going to be a decent team, but they still look kind of suspect at the back, I thought, a wee bit, especially in the first half hour. But, you know, to sort of sit back and wait on us getting the ball rather than try to take it off them was a bit disappointing.
Andrew, we knew that given that we're just on the back of a few weeks of pre-season games and a few weeks of pre-season training, that Mark McGee had already specified this wouldn't be a game that we were fully ready for. I think that showed over the course of the 90 minutes, but for all the, you'll look at the result and be disappointed, and rightfully so, there were some positives as well. The new guys, the majority of them hit the ground running and put in some decent performances. There was Marvin Johnson, who looked very good, particularly in the early stages, whether that's to win a move elsewhere or whether he's going to kick on again this season. There is room for optimism there, despite the disappointing result.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those ones that was quite apprehensive going into it, because with it being so early in the season, you had absolutely no idea how we were going to fare. So it was one of those kind of strange ones where we went in thinking, well, as long as we put up a fairly credible performance here, don't get the clear cut. And you would like to think that if we can continue to create that kind of number of chances, then with the strikers that we do have in terms of McDonald and Moult, once he's fully returned and fit, that we're going to score quite a few. Now, as I say, it is, again, you still don't know at the end of it, you still don't know quite what to take out of it, because as you rightly say, we're not fully ready, we're not raring to go, we don't know what level, again, Rangers are at, and how that compares to other teams, their readiness. So, but you take that kind of the creativity that was there. You take the fact that it took two kind of pretty, you know, classy goals to beat us.
and the performances of the new guys that you said, they all gave scope for encouragement there. It was a pretty decent afternoon's work, you know, bearing in mind, again, as you said, that it certainly wasn't McGee's priority. You know, that's always been stated as the killer game in the first day of the league campaign.
Henry, the Scottish Premiership managers have stated that they believe this is a bit of an inconvenience, these four group stage games so early on in the pre-season campaign. Before we came on, you were discussing the fact that Aaron have had a full rebuilding job to do, losing a great number of players over the course of the summer. Is it the same for you guys? I know there's obviously the boost of the revenue stream. You have Motherwell visiting on Saturday, a trip to Ibrox tomorrow evening, but how hard is it to get your side up and ready to compete in these games and to put on a respectable display?
I think it's a fair point. I think if we look at the Betfred League Cup and the way that it's been reinvigorated, which I would say it's a welcome change to the League Cup, what I would say, some of these comments that are maybe coming from Premiership managers, I think they're a wee bit off the mark and a bit disrespectful. There's been a significant piece of work went into place to reinvigorate the League Cup. The financial support that's now there through Betfred and through the television deals, it's incredible. And there's a significant amount of monies available here to clubs that are doing well, that are far greater than what was there in the past. Now, for the Premiership managers to make these comments, I think it's a downright disgrace, especially when the Premiership clubs to a club, all apart from the four that's in Europe, all wanted to get into a reinvigorated competition. So my first point is, I really don't accept what the guys are saying as managers. They're entitled to their opinion, but this competition has invigorated. There's substantial revenues there to be gained, not only from the clubs like us in the qualifying or the group stages, but for pretty much going to be the Premiership and the top Championship clubs as they progress through the competition. So in that respect, I think it's absolutely brilliant. The timing, it's challenging for small part-time clubs to get ourselves ready, just like it is for the Premiership clubs. I think if we take Thursday night, for instance, before Stranraer, that was the first night that Jim Chapman, has been able to do any shaping with the team, because we signed in the previous week, I think we probably signed 7 or 8 players to get our squad up to a number that we could actually field, because there's no trialists allowed. So Thursday night was the first night that Jim managed to work with the guys and to do the shaping. I would say it was pretty successful on Saturday. We lost 2-1, but we lost at set pieces, so we had a good hour, and it was it's all about building for the season ahead in League Two, and the League Cup, absolutely delighted to be involved in that. But we're treating that as we're never going to do anything in it. We'd never do anything in it previously, but it's getting work into the legs of the players, getting them used to each other, building a new team. 14 players we lost last year, and it's getting the guys to know each other in what will be really competitive games, which we had against Stranraer, Rangers tomorrow night, as you mentioned, and then Motherwell at home on Saturday. Terrific games for the guys, and it's good for the whole of the game to just get some reinvigoration and revitalisation into this competition.
Buster, there's so many valid points in amongst that, but I suppose the talking point amongst ourselves over the course of the weekend was the fact that we came up against Rangers for the first time of what will hopefully be 4 occasions. You would expect them to finish in the top 6, given they look like a very, very strong unit. Wasn't the most enjoyable experience, I must admit, having them back. Our fans certainly didn't turn up in great numbers, as has been referenced on our Twitter account about 1,000 times over the course of the weekend. But I think there was plenty of people of the mindset that this would be a game to kind of get the legs going and to show what we could do without. There'd been a great significance on the result. We would, with all due respect to Annan, East Stirling and Stranraer, we would hope that, given an extra week of training, we are a full-time club, that we would have enough to gain the results to progress through these group stages, but the atmosphere was pretty poisonous at the weekend, and there was obviously the situation at the end of the game as well, which was quite disappointing, where the police decided to take action against our supporters for simply trying to leave the game, which seemed very, very bizarre. An eventful afternoon, certainly, and one that I'm not really looking forward to repeating anytime soon.
Yeah, it's you know, it's good to hear Henry say, you know, it was a chance for his players, you know, his team's players to get to know each other, you know, get the legs going again, things like that. Because I'd said it before, I think that this competition is essentially being used for pre-season as well. You know, whether or not that's disrespect for it, or, you know, just because it happens to be in the middle of July, I think it's more likely. But as you said, it was one where we looked a bit sort of deflated in the second half. We never really got going at all in the second half. As you said, the crowd that was there, you know, tried to get behind the team, but there wasn't very many Motherwell fans there. And again, maybe that's to do with the fact that it's in the middle of July, or the beginning of July, near enough. So it's certainly...
How did your crowd compare, Henry? I think it was just under 500. How would that compare to a normal kind of Stranraer game? Just blockbusters on that point.
We've never played Stranraer now for 2-3 seasons, but that's the kind of crowd we would expect. What I would say, I know the issues with Motherwell and Rangers, but at our ground, the social club was full of Stranraer and Annan fans. A lot of the guys actually in the Tartan Army, we meet each other abroad and stuff, and in the big room, everybody was mixing, kids, families, the lot. So in that respect, it was absolutely brilliant to see it. But just under 500 for us, yeah, that's perfectly acceptable, really just almost par for the course for us. So, but it was a nice wee travelling support there for about 100 or so, so it was good. It was a good opener for us.
And as you says there, Henry, as well, you know, the way the fans mix in and stuff in the social club, that's the way it'll be on Saturday coming as well, no doubt. Just unfortunate that when you come up against certain teams who think they've got an agenda, who think there is an agenda in there somewhere, you know, it's as Andy says as well, I don't think it was as poisonous as it could have been or has been in the past, but it certainly wasn't a nice place to be. And luckily enough for ourselves, we never really bumped into any of them in or around the ground anywhere, or in the pubs afterwards. So it was as Andy says, it was, you know, they had their wee party songs going, and, you know, they'd done their bit. And then the bit at the end where the police was also disappointing, where they decided to try and keep in about, 300 fans. I don't know why they tried to do that, but I quite enjoy the fact that it's, you know, the League Cup's got us talking at least about competitive football, as you say, is in the middle of July. So I think it could work out all right, but the bizarre decision to have these penalties and stuff as well is kind of strange, but again, that's another point.
Can I just say that one on the penalties? Our manager, Jim, he actually thinks we should take the penalties before the game.
Aye, you might as well.
And add a bit of spice to it. So I think his belief is that taking the penalties before the match, it would mean that one team would certainly have to go for it, because it goes to a draw. But no, it's an interesting discussion, the penalties, and there was one point on Saturday, I know for 60 minutes we had a number of good chances, and disappointing we never took them, because we should have went ahead several times before Stranraer had a good spell. But there was one point that I was starting to feel excited about the penalties, because I thought, oh yeah, this has got the potential to be a draw, and there's a chance here of getting a victory on a penalty shootout. And if I was thinking that, I would imagine a number of the other fans as well would be thinking the same thing. So it's something different. And I thought a lot of people criticise the game and the game's stale, and we're bringing this into the summer months. And I know that there's lots of discussions. I was involved in a couple of the working parties a while back there, but due to work commitments, I have my own company that I really couldn't end up giving the time. And I know with the international weekends now, we've got something like 10 occasions over the calendar year that the international players, they're away from their clubs, they're playing. So there's a backdrop to try and spread the games out a bit more, and I can understand why they brought it into July. We've now got the break for the Premiership sides at the new year, so it's moving a bit more towards the summer football, and that's always been a talking point, but it's a real challenge. I don't know about the full-time sides, but for us it's a real challenge. We played our first friendly on the 2nd of July across in Belfast against Crusaders, and at that point we had only 5 signed players. The League Cup, there's no trialists, as I mentioned earlier. It puts real pressure on us. The top clubs, they've got a number of players that they can fall back on through their youth programs, etc. But the lower clubs, certainly we didn't have that. The alternative, if for instance we'd have been looking for pre-season friendlies that become real meaningful, to a certain extent they just the P fans or fans. I know for our view anyway, for our viewpoint and our fans, they. Sick of pre-season friendlies where they're paying to come in and you're having to charge accordingly because of the fees associated with referees and assistants. So pre-season friendlies, we saw them in the 8 years we've been in the league, the crowds dwindling and it doesn't excite fans. So I really do think that this League Cup, we've got to give it a chance, and I think it'll grow. But what will happen is that the majority of the teams in the Premiership and the top of the Championship, they'll get through to the more lucrative stages anyway. Good revenue for finishing second, so I think all in all we'll see the League Cup grow, and it'll get quite competitive as the rounds go on, because there's some good money there for the top clubs.
That's one of the points that was brought up last week, Andrew, with in terms of Gordon Duncan from Clyde One was saying there's so many times where people are down in Scottish football and they bemoan the lack of ideas. And then someone comes up with an idea. Yes, it perhaps is a wee bit radical, and the things as mentioned before, the penalty shootout and so on, is a bit controversial. But maybe as fans, we should stop lambasting those that are actually putting ideas forward and try to change things up, because certainly now, particularly given we've lost our first game, it does add more intrigue to it. We have to win these last 3 games to ensure we go through, and that's much better than going anywhere to play meaningless games for a few weeks before we kick off on the 6th of August.
Yeah, there's a balance to it. I mean, always good to try and be innovative where we can before we're thinking, come up with new ideas. But you know, not every idea, just because it's new and a bit wacky, is going to be one that's going to work. So, you know, by all means, we have to consider things. I'm not. In terms of the penalties, though, where we get stuck in the penalty issue, I mean, I'm quite happy with that. Personally, I kind of think it's in there not only for the excitement factor, is that it'll possibly help with the fact that we're not having home and away games in the section. That'll possibly, it's another wee area in there that'll help split teams in terms of finding out the best runners up, because I think it's only 4. Was it 4 out of the 8 groups, if I remember rightly? You were the best runners up. So that extra wee penalty shootout could be the difference. So fair enough, I'm quite happy with that at all. But there's not every, as I say, not every idea is to everyone's liking. I mean, one of the things that the Henry will probably be able to give us a better opinion than anybody on it, but the kind of reformed Challenge Cup. I mean, I'm not particularly enamoured with the fact that under 20 teams are included in that. I believe that certainly some of the guys that I'm friendly with that support teams such as Clyde and Airdrie and things like that are not particularly happy at that. Personally, I'm loath for the Old Firm teams to have under 20s in there, because to me it's the start of a slippery slope for them to include them in the league altogether. Now, that's a whole different debate for another day, but you know, that's one kind of, you know, element in there that, you know, it's a wee bit forward thinking, but not necessarily in my eyes a particularly good move. So, you know, there's pros and cons to all these decisions.
Do you want me to come back in about the the Iron Brew Cup.
Oh, absolutely. Honestly, any time you've got an opinion, please speak up, because we certainly do.
Interestingly enough, we were across playing Crusaders, as I mentioned, on the first Saturday in July, and they're really looking forward to this competition. They see it as an exciting prospect. They're delighted to be involved, and I got the impression from them that Lingfield were the same. Now, that was them preparing for their, was it the second round against Copenhagen? I think they played them last week, but they seem excited enough about it for that respect. And I think the rule, any of the teams that are travelling across to Northern Ireland or Wales or vice versa, there's a £4,000 allowance to help them with their costs. I know we went, and £4,000 was not far off the mark in terms of what it covered us for the Friday night, Saturday. So fair enough that there's that type of things. But I think the main talking point and issue is the under-20s and what they're calling the Colts team. One thing I'm looking forward to and I really want to do is play Celtic under-20s. We play them at Morton. And I really hope we beat them, because initially I wasn't too excited about it, but my thoughts as we're moving along is that the under-20s and all the Premiership on teams, they were all seeded, so they were given the seeding preference, which I find that a wee bit strange. I think the league club should have got the seedings, but that's how it starts off, and that just typifies what how people think. So the under-20s are in there. Is it a precursor to the Colts teams or under-20s or reserve sides coming into the league? Yeah, that's it's a possibility. You could. It wouldn't shock me. I know how things work in the game, and it wouldn't shock me if that's perhaps the long-term view. It's happens in other countries. We see it in Spain, and I know there's a lot of resistance with fans across the piece to this, but in some cases there'll be others that are excited, because when you get Celtic and Rangers, we all know that right through the country there's buses going every weekend. I've seen us, we had a game a few years ago against Rangers, might have been under 19s or whatever, and there was over 1,000 people at Galabank on a Sunday afternoon. That's what happens, I suppose, with the Old Firm. But Jim, our manager, he sits in one of the working parties, and him and me, we have great discussions about the game. I love the chatting with Jim. We can talk, it can go for hours, and he's a real deep thinker about the game, and he cares about it, and he cares about development of youngsters. And both him and I, we see this possibility of Colts team working group that he's involved in, that always comes up, because it's development of the best young players, which ultimately should be to benefit the Scotland team. And it's absolutely ridiculous that we've never qualified for so long, and I care about that. I care about Scotland. I go to away games, so I want to see a strong Scotland. But where we talk about with Jim and myself, when both similar minded here, is rather than this idea of the Colts teams, we much prefer some kind of draft where we to take the top 60 players that are in the elite programmes, or top 80 players or whatever, spread them on a draft system through League 1, League 2, and get them playing with men. Get them developing instead of playing against guys their own age. Get them into playing against men. We know that the standard in League 2, League 1, we know that it's it can be hard, it can be physical, but it's certainly played at pace. And I've seen where we've came in 8 years, and I know the type of game that we have to play. And it can only benefit these young guys. We've just seen Jordan Hart, for instance. He was a Celtic under-19s keeper. Ayr United's now taken him, stole him from us. They've offered us a disgusting paltry amount to take it to a tribunal, but he's joined Ayr United in the Championship. 19-year-old, but that boy's played 40 games at Annan Athletic at senior level, and there's other examples of that all through the country, and I think that's what we should be exploiting, is finding a way to get our top youngsters playing with men and developing that part of the game, and they can still do their elite stuff on a Monday afternoon or a Wednesday or whatever, but get them into the nitty gritty, because if we look back, it's not that long ago when the best players in the country, when we had loads of players playing all over the UK, that these players, when they were youngsters, they were on S forms, they were farmed out to juniors, they were farmed out to other clubs. There's nothing wrong with that. Develops their mentality, their physique, and their understanding of the game. So I think there's an alternative to the Colts, but the unfortunate thing is that the people that drive the game, the governance that's in there, it's pretty much driven by the Premiership, and they'll end up deciding what happens. There you go. I've taken a breath.
No, I don't think there's many points though there that can be argued with. I think that there's maybe a misconception that if we were to loan out some of our younger players to an Annan Athletic, for example, there would be the prospect that the enthusiasm would be kicked out of them. There's maybe a few stereotypes that need banished first before it'll become more of a norm to see guys dropping down two or three levels to eventually develop their career, because there's certain guys at our club just now that could really benefit from regular first team football. They're not going to get it at Fir Park. Their contracts might be up at the end of the season. They could just drop off the face of the earth, so to speak. With that, they need football. This cup might be an extra way of maybe putting them on a platform. But then again, Motherwell under 20s won the Youth Cup last year. We started the game on Saturday with only one player who featured in the starting 11, so it's not as if the reward of winning that cup was a run in the first team. Whether it comes for a few more players in the coming weeks, the coming months, who knows, but it certainly hasn't kicked in straight away, that's for sure.
We had one of your young boys last year, David Ferguson, and he had a tremendous first part of the season with us, and again, he was getting pretty much 90 minutes every week, and when it came to the transfer window in January, we were hoping to extend his time with us to the end of the season. I wish we had, because I think in that position, out with the playoffs with one goal, I think he could quite easily have made the difference, but he was then farmed out to Airdrie for the last half of the season. That's happening with your club, and gosh, years ago when we first joined the league, the wee striker that's at Patrick Thistle was an ex-Motherwell player. Stephen Lawless. He was down. He got a good few games with us, and next thing you know, he's playing Premiership with Paddock Thistle. So there's plenty of instances where you see the players getting the opportunity. The fact that in the lower leagues, the manager's afraid to play the players because they've got the fundamentals, they've got the basics, they've came through a youth system. So what they have got is, they've got a level of talent which is a given, but what they perhaps didn't have, and they didn't have the understanding of playing the game with men with that physical side, and that's where their development can take a step change. Because you've just mentioned Motherwell winning the under 20s cup. What happens to these guys? They're not getting a chance in your first team. That means that all that investment that's been put into these youngsters, they'll end up disappearing and maybe dropping to a Championship side or whatever. It just seems that we haven't got that part of the game right. And if there was a more rigid structure in place along the lines of a draft system, these players wouldn't be lost as readily to the game. But that's just my view.
I think your idea of a draft system is pretty interesting, to be honest. You see it across, you know, the sports in America, basically. But I think one of the problems would be how it would be implemented, and, you know, whether or not someone who, for example, you know, if you're the top prospect at 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. Without being disrespectful, are you really wanting to go and, you know, kick about in League Two when you might be, you know, on the verge? If for example, you're at Motherwell, you might be on the verge of the team. You might not get in it, but you might be there. Would that player, for example, then like to go and play, as you say, in League One or Two?
Well, that's the dilemma. But I would say is that if you took the likes of Jordan Hart, Jack Breslin, Andy, what do you call him? He's across in Northern Ireland. We got him from Chelsea. There's four players that are all teenagers heading towards their late teens, 19 to 20. They've all came to Annan in the last cup, and it hasn't hurt their development at all. I would say it's significantly helped these guys. I think there's merit in it, but I'm not saying I've got the solution. But I think it's something that we should explore, and it maybe doesn't cater for the absolute elite that's on the fringes. But when you look at the teams, that the Premiership teams and the teams that they field, it's only really when the clubs got into real financial distress that you see them reverting to their youngsters. And that, it shouldn't be that case. And we saw that with Hearts, we saw it with Falkirk. Rangers, when they came down to join us in Division 3, you would expect Rangers to develop their youngsters because of what they had at Murray Park. That didn't happen. You look at where they are now. They're back in the Premiership, and there's very, very few youngsters that's been brought through the system. Celtic, everybody talks about Celtic and Rangers Colts. Look at Celtic, their first team, very, very few youngsters. Who was the last one, the boy last year? What was his name?
Tierney,
the fullback, and then prior to that it was probably James Forrest. So you can't say that these the old firm, for instance, are shining lights on how to develop youngsters.
No, I agree, and I think that players, you know, going out to lower league teams is ideal, to be honest with you. You know, we had a couple of players out last year, at yourselves, Airdrie. Dylan Mackin went to Airdrie as well. Craig Moore went to Air United, and Craig Moore, as far as I'm led to believe, just by some of the fans and some of the Air fans I know on Twitter, you know, they loved Craig Moore. I thought a couple of seasons ago as well we should have done it with Dom Thomas. But I think Dom Thomas's problem was he was just on the verge of getting out of the team. You know, he was constantly named as a substitute when he was like 17 years old. He was getting on for 10 minutes at the end. See, I think if we'd maybe just, you know, as you say, put him out on loan for half a season, 6 months, something like that, he'd probably come back a better player, considering, as you say, you know, he's going up against big, strong men at that point when he's 17, 18 year old, you know. I think it's a good idea to sort of farm out your youngsters.
See, for me, it almost seems like there's... Sorry. For me, it seems like there's a kind of bit just above the middle where you're maybe on the brink, but you're not getting these games, and it can quite easily develop to 9 months to a year without a game, and suddenly you're actually on the footballing scrap heap. It's trying to keep these guys at that level. They're close, but they're not quite there in terms of physicality, ability, or whatnot. We need to keep these guys in the game by hook or by crook type of thing, because it's so easy to kind of almost lose a year of your development. You went back a few years in terms of football development and by that time, and it can almost be too late for some of these guys. Where, how many players can we think of over the last couple of years that we've thought, oh, they're really promising, but they don't get their chance, and they maybe make the wrong moves, and before you know it, they're forgotten men. So it's so easy to... Well, it's definitely not easy to get on the brink of a first team start in the Scottish Premier League. I don't believe that for a second, but I think it's so easy to go backwards and to be forgotten about, sometimes through no fault of your own.
One of the examples, when Brian McClair came into the position, he'd done a tour of the country, and he came down to Annan, as he did with all the other clubs, and Jim and myself met him. We had a bit of lunch and had a great chat with him. But what he relayed to us was what Man United. Man United don't hesitate in putting their youngsters out to the clubs in the Championship, or depending on where they see them, they'll go. And they do that as a matter of course, because they see that as the perfect way of developing these youngsters and getting them playing at a different, to bring on their physique and their understanding. And it's still this elite versus elite. I think we're too hung up on that. There's some model in there that we've got to try and find that allows the elite, once they're identified, and I'm talking about, because that's where the best kids are, but we can't lose them. And what you were saying there about guys maybe getting 10 minutes, 15 minutes, they're lost at the end of that year, and they're suddenly, I would say their development has pretty much been put into reverse. And where I'm coming from is that I think there's a way that we can do this better, and it's a way that will help the youngsters and ultimately help the parent club, because they will come back better players, stronger players, and they'll come back with maybe a wee bit different mindset to the game, because we also find that a lot of the youngsters that came through the youth development programmes with the bigger clubs, they're mollycoddled. They don't know what's in the real world. They think that football owes them a living. Now, getting that wee taste of what football actually is in the lower leagues, I think it gives them a wee bit of calibration, I would say.
Mm. You're right there as well. As you say, you can be a millionaire before you even step on the park these days. Obviously, if you're at the high end of, you know, the English Premiership or something. So, as you say, to hear you say that you feel as if they're mollycoddled doesn't surprise me one bit.
What we'll do, guys, is we'll move on and we'll discuss Saturday's cup tie, one that, I think it's fair to say, Andy, that we're all really looking forward to a ground that not many of us will have visited. A chance to see some of these new players a week on from their first competitive run out. Yeah, it should be a good one. Very much hope that we can go and put in a performance, a good away day. I'm sure it'll be a good travel and support. All in all, one to look forward to.
Yeah, it was the one, obviously, when the draw was made and you get Rangers, we saw the fallout from the playoff games, ensured that was going to be the kind of major talking point of our fixtures. But, you know, the trip to Annan, that immediately stood out with the fact that I think we've had under-20s games against Annan in the past. I can remember one 7 or 8 years ago, perhaps. But I don't recollect the first team having played any friendlies even there. Personally, we've kind of stopped in at the Annan Social Club in a couple of pre-season trips to Carlisle many years ago, and they were really enjoyable, the folk at Annan. No bumming up here at all, but the folk in the Social Club were absolutely fantastic with our bus that when we pulled in there, even so far as giving a couple of balls out and letting the guys play in the park and stuff. So it'll be nice to actually see Motherwell play there for the first time. And as you say, looking forward to the actual game as well. We would hope the extra 90 minutes that we've had, and the fact that it actually felt like a lot of people have said it's a glorified pre-season game, but personally it was a good game. It was a good contest. You know, it wasn't played at a slow pace by any manner of means. So I think we'll definitely have felt the benefit of the 90 minutes against Rangers there. And from what McGee was saying in terms of his post-match interview there, that his intentions are to play the strongest team that's available to him. So, you know, we look as if, although there's been chat about, you know, how serious they're, not so much how serious they're taking it, but how far along they are in terms of readiness. You know, he's been 100%. It certainly seems he's going to do the competition justice with the teams that he's selecting. So, it's got the makings of a good afternoon out, so one that hopefully we'll get a resounding victory, all being well, and, you know, we can take the first step to getting one of these kind of best runners up spots, if that's how we're going to qualify for the, you know, the next stage.
Buster, I was a bit concerned that Andrew was going to ask for a couple of bar vouchers there, but he managed to stop short of that.
I was about to leave the room. We have played Mother, I think 7-8 years ago. I think Terry Butcher brought a team down. That was a pre-season friendly. I think that's the game you're maybe referring to. And manager then, Harry Kearney was a manager. Terry Butcher brought the team down that night. But it was a young side, and this is the first competitive game at Gala Bank. It's brilliant to get Premiership teams down. We've only ever played the league side before, and that was Hamilton Accies, and we thumped them 4-1, which should have been 6 or 7. We annihilated them, and I think the
4 was fine for us. 4 was fine for us.
I think the international goalkeeper for Northern Ireland might have been playing for Hamilton that day. Yeah. So was it Michael McGovern? I think he was in goals. He was between the sticks for Hamilton. So that was a brilliant result for us last year. We beat Rangers at Ibrox in League 3. That was my highlight, but the first time we've ever played a Premiership side, and that was last season, and that goes down as the best result in our history. Absolutely no chance that's going to repeat itself this weekend. We're building. We Saturday there against Tranmere. That game was played at a good tempo. It was not short of pace. There was no way it was a pre-season friendly. There was some good stuff, some good slick stuff played in that game at times. So we're going to Ibrox tomorrow night. I would imagine we'll get stretched. We've got 4 of our players back in. Jim will shape the boys up on Thursday night to how we'll play on our pitch. It's tight. As fans, you'll be right on the pitch. You'll be the crowd's very close to the players. So it adds a good bit to the atmosphere. But it's a tight pitch. You won't have a lot of room. But it's 3G. No bad surface at all. And we haven't got a watering system. So if there's plenty now in the weekend, it'll be quite dry, and the ball maybe will only move as fast as it would when there's a bit of rain on it. So I'm obviously tomorrow night, get that out of the way, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday and Motherwell coming down, and it'll be another good test for our guys. I think a lot of people are thinking, with the number of players we've lost, we're going to struggle this season. Some of these youngsters that Jim's brought in, there's football in them, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they apply themselves tomorrow night. Yeah, but more so Saturday at home against Motherwell, and looking forward to meeting the guys as well in the social club. We've got a number of Motherwell fans that support Motherwell and Aaron, strangely enough, but they do go to Firmat quite often. So it'll be interesting to see how we got on the pitch, but off the pitch, the Well fans will have a great time at Gala Bank. We're a very welcoming club.
I'm looking forward to coming down as well, you know. Just while we're talking, I was just digging at my train tickets to make sure I had actually purchased the right ones.
Right.
So that's all sorted. But as you said, you know, there's games tomorrow as well. There's one for ourselves as well. But what are you expecting, or what are you hoping for out of these two games? And Henry, I know you'd love two wins, but what are you thinking's happening?
I hope we don't get a drubbing tomorrow night at Ibrox. I'm always fearful of that. When we play the bigger sides, and even when we played Hamilton last year, I always want us to put up a good fight and not get thumped. And we've never had a thumping in the 8 years so far. So I think tomorrow night, expectations, keep the score as low as we possibly can. Saturday, it's a different matter. Jim will get the full team again. He'll get everybody together on Thursday night, and he'll shape us up, and hopefully he can keep us tight. I certainly felt for an hour at the weekend that the shape was good. We were just... set pieces took us out of the game. One of the times our set off, we thought he had a broken cheekbone, and the guy he was marking scored the header to give him their second goal. So he'll concentrate on set pieces, but if we can keep that game tight on Saturday, you just never know. We've had some good stuff recently against Hamilton, Queen of the Mirren. We're no bad cup side at home, but we're a new side, and one thing they haven't got is fear. but I don't know how much we've got in the locker in terms of being able to compete against the Premiership sides. So we'll take it as it comes. Most important thing for us will be that in the legs, but the East Stirlingshire game, which is the last game of our section on the 30th or 31st of July, is to see if we can get the victory there and realistically finish second bottom and then get us ready for the league campaign ahead.
Ah, brilliant, brilliant. But another thing you've got going for you is on Saturday is that we are rubbish in the cups. So, you know, you never know.
You've not always been rubbish in cups, come on. You've actually won a cup. You notice, I think the last cup we won, it's probably the second last cup we won, but we won a cup final at Motherwell when we were a non-league side. It was the last time that the Tenants qualifying cup was ever played, and we beat Preston Athletic, I think it was 3-1 at Fir Park, and we lifted that trophy for the first time in our history. We'd went close plenty of times, and I was absolutely delighted as chairman to win that trophy. It was always the trophy that eluded us in non-league football. So we'd done that at Fir Park, and we had a great day there and an absolutely great night. Maybe not quite the same night as what we had when we beat Rangers at Ibrox. That was kind of something else.
We can relate to that.
I came back in a supporters bus. I didn't come back in the team bus. I came out the boardroom and I knew where most of the supporters were, so I went and had a drink in the hotel with them just across by Ibrox. And I know you're not meant to drink on buses, but it wasn't an official Annan bus, it was a supporters bus. There was a wee swally on that, and Lockerbie was only 10 miles from Annan, so we decided to go into Lockerbie as well. And then we got back to the social. We had a cracking day that day, and against Hamilton, it was at night time, it was unbelievable in the social club. So I don't know what Saturday will be like, but if it turns out to be one of these occasions, yeah, we'll revel in it. But feet firmly on the ground, it's a difficult game for us.
Plus, a significant bit of team news for ourselves is that Louis Moult will miss the first 3 weeks of the Premiership season, so of course he'll be ruled out for the next couple of League Cup games as well. I was concerned about Mark McGee's and Louis Moult's interviews regarding his injury during the week, where he said that there were scans done, they couldn't quite identify what the problem was. Mark McGee actually pointed out that Louis Moult's form towards the end of the season had dipped as a result of this mystery injury. What's happened now is he's going to go for surgery in the next couple of days, I believe. The recuperation process will almost start immediately, and hopefully he'll be back following Scotland's trip to Malta in the early part of September. A massive loss, but if we were to continue to play him and risk him with that niggly injury, the consequences could have been quite severe. So it's good that at this early juncture we've managed to get the issue dealt with, and hopefully following this operation we'll have Louis Moult back to the 20 goal a season striker that we all believe he can be, and he wasn't a kick in the arse off at last season, that's for sure.
Yeah, as you say, when we didn't even know about this until, you know, Mark McGee mentioned it really. So to hear Mark McGee say he's not going to be involved because he's got this wee injury, to suddenly having him on the bench, and I think he came on for the last 20 minutes or so, that was a bit of a surprise. But it's going to be hard without him, but it's going to give guys like, you know, Jacob Blythe, one of the new boys, a chance to come in. Again, Craig Moore there, he's 20-21 now, so he's going to need to come in here and come in his absence, hopefully here, and start to impress as well, maybe. But as you say, it is going to be hard without him. It'll be interesting to see how McGee then lines up. You know, he did mention in one of his pre-season interviews, you know, Blythe was a big, strong target man. You know, you've seen the size of him, he's massive, he's ball at the side of Hoos, and he's 6'3", so it'll be interesting to see Blythe as well. And, you know, hopefully coming from, I think it was Leicester, wasn't it? He was on loan in League 2 and stuff, but came from Leicester really, so it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully he can, you know, kick off with Louis Moult last year as well.
And Andrew,
when you're talking about that big stud, the guy there on Saturday, Stranraer brought on Nadi, and the game changed as soon as they brought him on. He was just like a brute. Up until then, we'd contained Stranraer very well, and we're unlucky not to be in the league. But as soon as they brought Nadi on, that was us. He just too strong.
And he's built like the side of two horses.
I never said that. You said it,
Andrew. What Henry was saying about the Annan victory over Hamilton in the Scottish Cup last season, that will hopefully be a reminder of what that team are capable of. I know that there's been wholesale changes over the summer, but certainly on their day they're capable of an upset, and we need to be alert to that and be on our game from minute one on Saturday.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you only go back 2 years and those infamous words, Albion and Rovers. So that's the reminder that's not too far in our past, that's you would like to think is going to ensure that we're not going to have any kind of repeat of those kind of results. Although, having said that, he's 5 nearly and probably should have knocked us out of the League Cup last year. But I look at the way McGee approached the Cove Rangers game in January, and it was very professional. He put out pretty much as strong a team as he possibly could. A typical McGee fast start. Game was done and dusted in the first half, and I would anticipate that is the line that he's going to take with the team on Saturday. That we come out, try and do much the same as we did on Saturday, only be a wee bit more clinical in front of goal, and then it gives him his potential opportunity, if he chooses to do so, is to introduce a couple of people, give anybody that he feels is not quite 100% a breather or the extra time, you know, whatever way he sees fit. But certainly with the, you know, as you say, the result last season in the Scottish Cup for Annan, you know, combined with the fact that there's still, you know, a handful of them there, the Albion Rovers debacle, that it's going to be the warnings are there not to, to fall into that kind of trap again.
And just in a final one to wrap up, we would normally have a weekly kind of podcast talking point, but Jay is got a 2-day hangover, so he's not with us today, so we'll roll that one over to next week, which is quite a common theme if you listen to the podcast regularly, that someone goes out with a hangover. The double denim away strip was launched last Thursday. All fashion gurus have had their opinion on it. I don't actually mind it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't wear it with a pair of blue jeans, mind you. Buster, Andrew, your thoughts, and Henry, if you've seen this strip, then you can also chip in there.
I don't mind either, to be fair. I don't mind any of the three of them. As I said last week, the only problem I've got with any of the strips is they're not made for fat people, so I'm screwed. but as I say, it looks nice enough, I suppose. I don't really know what people were expecting for an away kit, but you know, as you say, it's one of those things. It's, you either like it or you don't, but I don't mind that. I think it's all right.
I'm in the same boat. When it comes to Motherwell kits, the first one is the home kit is just about perfect, almost as the full kind of hoop, which is my primary concern. A lot of people have got their preferences about the colour of shorts, colour of socks, what have you. But you know, if we've got our hoop there, then that's quite happy for me. So that box was ticked right away. Your contrasting, although we launched it as the kind of third kit, as it were, you know, you need your kind of white kit for going to Fir Hill, or if you choose to wear it at Tynecastle or Aberdeen, whatever the case is. And to me, if you've got that and you're then going to go with three kits, then the third one gives you licence to do exactly as they've done and come up with something that's a wee bit off the wall. And I don't think it's too bad, in all honesty. It's going to appeal to a group within our support, particularly. So, by all means, the only gripe really is that, you know, you've got three and I think they're all advertised as 2016-17. So you're going to be in the same boat this time next year again. However, that's just the way with football shirts these days, isn't it? So, but no, in terms of the actual designs, you know, fair play to them. They've come up with three decent ones, I think, this time.
I don't get too hung up about the strips. I haven't seen the Motherwell strips, so I can't comment. But to me, the most important thing is the badge on the strip and the guys that are inside it, whether that's the people that are on the park doing the business, or for us being a community club, is the supporters that come and support us week in, week out. I never ever got to a point that I would have loved to have discussed, is that very shortly we will be the first club in Scotland that is 100% fan-owned without being in financial distress. We're doing that on a voluntary basis, and I want Annan Athletic protected, and I want us 100% owned, and that's for the right reasons, by fans and local people. One share, one vote, with limited liability, and we're working on that very hard, and hopefully in the next couple of months we'll get that through, and we Annan will be doing the right thing.
Well, Henry, that's the Welsh Society are a talking point, and the majority of our podcasts, I would like to extend the welcome the next time that we have a representative of the Welsh Society on, if you fancy coming on and joining us and giving us a different perspective on it, because I must say that at times we are quite critical of the work of the Welsh Society and perhaps the lack of ideas, and it sounds like you guys might be doing things a wee bit differently, and it would be different to hear just a kind of from a different vantage point. So if you'd be ever so kind to do that, that'd be great.
Oh, I'd be delighted if you want to have me back. Aye, absolutely. And I can give a viewpoint on what it is we're trying to do. But yeah, no, just give me a shout and I'd quite happily come on board.
Brilliant.
Guys, we'll start to wrap it up for this week. Andrew, thanks very much for your time as always, pal.
Well, no problem. Pleasure to be on.
Henry, it's been an absolute delight speaking to you. All the best, Annan, for the season ahead, and hopefully we'll get a beer in the social club on Saturday as well. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, look forward to that, and thanks for asking me on. I've enjoyed it. I'm just heading up to the ground just now. We've got an operations meeting at 7 o'clock for Saturday's game, so I'll push on. But thanks again. I've really enjoyed that, and good luck. Saturday accepted, but good luck for the rest of the season. We'll be watching closely. Thank you.
Cheers. Bustard. Top man as always, even had a wee go asking questions there. That was a wee role change.
Yeah, as I say, you know, there's been a coup in Turkey, an attempted coup in Turkey, so watch your back, Andy. So, again, thanks very much to Andy. Andy's a regular guest, Andy P. So thanks very much. And Henry, it's a pleasure speaking to you again there. Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.
Whoops.
We're such a friendly bunch. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye. Throw myself under a bridge, try to get some time on my own. I need some, but I have to solve this. I can't lose all of my marbles. I don't know where we are going. Can hazard a guess, but I like not knowing. I'd leave them for you to think instead, but I don't know where.